But we'll give it a go just the same. You can turn the music off now. Thanks. Have some music while I'm preaching. How are we doing on time? Okay. All right. Now, if you recall, Al, did you have something? No? Okay, I'm sorry. If you recall the theme for this year that Pastor Lanny has given us, and that I have, for the gathering, have not only endorsed, but endorsed wholeheartedly because I felt the same thing coming from the Lord, it was that we're going to be increasing our personal discipline. And a part of that naturally includes the Word, the Holy Scripture. Daily Bible readings were handed out last month. I can show it right here. Daily Bible readings. Remember? We all got one of them. In an effort to help us kind of stay in the Word a little bit more regularly. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of us are actually doing that so as not to embarrass the rest of us. But instead, I want to take a little bit of time this morning to just look at the Word with kind of a new perspective. I mean, we all know that it's important to read and to study the Bible, but what does it really mean when we say the Word? Is the Word just another term for the Bible? How does the character of God, the character of Jesus, and the Word relate to one another? Now, my purpose here is not to make us feel guilty about not reading Scripture. My purpose here is to help us gain a fresh understanding of the Word, to understand what is happening when we're reading the Word or when we're listening for the Word, and conversely, what is happening when we are not. So my message today is about abiding in the Word. Some versions of Scripture say remain in the Word. And just to be sure that we're all on the same page, I want to provide some phrases that are similar to these two words. Now, New American Standard uses the term abide in, to abide in the Word. So synonyms for abide are this: to comply with, to obey, to observe, to follow, to keep to hold to conform to adhere to stick to stand by, to act in accordance with, to uphold, to heed, to accept, to go along with, to acknowledge, to respect, to defer to. Now, the New International Version, NIV, says to remain in. Synonyms to remain in are this: continue to exist, to endure, to last, to abide, to carry on, to persist, to stay around, to prevail, to survive, to live on. Okay, so when I'm using the term abide in or remain in, now we have some frame of reference for what that means. Have you ever read a novel and then kind of felt, oh, melancholy when the whole thing was done, when you were done reading it? Like you had just lost a friend. The character in the novel was so well written and you had gotten to know that character so well that you felt as though that you had lost a friend when the story was over. The characters exist only within the pages of the book. And so when all the pages were read, you felt a little bad. I know that's true in my case. Characters in novels do not exist except on paper. They do not exist except by someone's written word. Now, earlier in my life, I used to read novels quite a bit, but not so much anymore. For entertainment reading now, I read historical narratives. Now, historical narratives are true stories from history, but they have been so meticulously researched, they are written in this kind of narrative form, very much like a novel. And I have found them to be tremendously entertaining, and I have come to the conclusion that truth is so much more engaging than fiction. But I also noticed this other thing, that when I'm done reading historical novels, I don't feel melancholy when I'm done the way I did with novels. Historical narrative. And I knew that was wrong. when I get done reading historical narratives, I don't feel melancholy the way I do with novels. And I think I've come to that conclusion that the reason that I don't is because I realize that on historical narratives, the characters actually existed. I mean, they may not anymore, but at least at one time, the characters that I have gotten to know between the pages existed. That they had hopes, they had dreams, they had failures, they had disappointments, they had successes, just like the rest of us. They were real people with real lives, with real families. And something about the fact that these characters existed at one time somehow fills me with a sense of hope rather than, you know, like melancholy. If they were able, those characters were able to confront their adversity, then surely I can do the same. Now I'm going to pick this piece up in a minute, but for now I want you to turn to your Bibles and to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. It should be on page 1 of your Bible. And I want to start here in Genesis because I want to start building a framework that brings us to the identity of the Word. So in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." Notice what it says here. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. As Sam Solon is fond of saying, this has always been in here. God is not a singular. God is a plural. God is not as much a him as God is a them. There are three characters in one being. The God that we serve, our God, is a God of more than one dimension. And therefore, since we have been made in his likeness, we are people of more than one dimension. God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Likewise, for man, we are soul, body, spirit. Coincidence? I think not. Okay, so now that we've established the plurality of God, let's leave the book of Genesis and go to the book of John, John chapter 1. Now, John chapter 1, as it starts out, is poetic to be sure. It's beautifully written. But more than just being poetic, it reveals to us the mystery of God, the mystery of Jesus, the mystery of the Word, and how they relate to one another. Okay, is everybody with me? Anyone? Is anyone with me? All right. So let's start in verse 1 in John. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Notice what it says here to start. It says, in the beginning. Where else does Scripture start with that phrase, in the beginning? Genesis 1:1. Excellent. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning was the Word, and in the beginning, God. They both existed from the beginning. And as it says in the first verse, the Word and God are the same. They are one. Further it says, he was with God in the beginning. Now this is unusual wording. He was with God in the beginning. Notice how the Word is referred to as a he. The Word is not a thing, but a person. More accurately stated, the Word is not a thing, but a character. So the Word existed before time. Notice that it doesn't say that the Word was written or spoken. It was simply the Word. It was the truth that existed before time. So let's go on in verse 3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made. Okay, well wait. Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about who's the Him in this verse? Are we talking about God or are we talking about the Word? Well, the answer is yes. They're one and the same, so it really doesn't matter. But the Him referred to here specifically is the Word. Verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So like a flashlight that's turned on in the pitch black, the Word is spoken forth, and the darkness flees. I'm going to repeat this. The Word is spoken forth, and the darkness flees. This is really important to remember. Jesus did it when He was tempted by Satan. We're going to see that verse in a little bit. We can do it when we're under attack from Satan. If we speak the Word, the darkness will flee. But of course, it presupposes that we know the Word. So this is one of the advantages of getting into the Word then, being able to understand it, being able to speak it, so that when we are under attack, we can speak it. And just like that flashlight going on in the darkness will flee from us. All right, in the verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Okay, so these passages now testify to John the Baptist, the one who went before the light, or if you prefer, the one who went before the Word, to testify that the Word is true, to testify that the light is real. Now, picking up in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. That's verse 9 through 13. Okay, so like an opera building to a crescendo, like additional clues in a detective story, more information is being provided here now. More pieces to the puzzle are starting to fit into place. We see in these passages that the Word is true light, that the Word is in the world, that the Word made the world, that the world did not recognize or receive the Word, and the Word can give people the right to become children of God. That's a pretty powerful word. We also see the personal characteristics of the Word. For example, the Word has a name. Okay, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 14 is the punchline. The Word became flesh. Jesus was the Word. He became flesh. God was the Word. Ergo, Jesus and God are one. In fact, Jesus, God, and the Word are all one. God sent the Word to man, God's mouthpiece. Because Jesus and God and the Word are all one, the thing spoken by Jesus is everlasting. It cannot be reneged on. because the Lord cannot renege on Himself. Now, when it comes to the Scripture, I can testify that I have never felt melancholy after reading it. In the Scripture, the Word and the character are one. The Word became flesh. It's like it peeled off of the paper to become a man. The Word was spoken and the man materialized. The identity of the Word is Jesus. It is God incarnate. So the purpose of the message today then is simple and straightforward. To encourage each of us to get into the Word. To abide in the Word. To remain in the Word. Because in doing so, we are abiding in Jesus more deeply. Let's go to the book of Matthew. I want to shift gears here a little bit. Book of Matthew, chapter 4. Now, we have just established Jesus as the Word. So now I want to briefly address a Christian ceremony that is familiar, I think, to every one of us. Okay, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, for you trivia fans, Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament here, specifically in Deuteronomy 8:3. We are to live off the Word. We are to consume the Word. But we've already established that Jesus is that Word. So, you ever wonder what the deal is with this whole bit about, you know, eating the flesh and drinking the blood? You know, we consume His flesh and blood symbolically at the communion table each Sunday, and we are instructed to do so. But the whole thing sounds a little bit gruesome. What's up with that? We have been instructed to consume Him who is the Word. We are to fill up on the Word. And in doing so, we fill ourselves on the Lord Jesus. Or put another way, we are to fill up on the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, we fill ourselves with the Word. Okay, so what are some of the advantages, some of the consequences of consuming or abiding in the Word? Well, there are a few that I'd like to review. We've actually already gone over one. But one, another advantage is abiding in the Word is salvation. This is from Ephesians. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to do a touch and go there. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. You are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You see, by hearing and believing the Word, there is salvation. Just reading the Word as a non-believer probably won't get you that far. But inviting the Word into you, receiving the Word, that's freedom. That is salvation. Okay, next, abiding in the Word is convicting. And this one's from Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So once again, here we are reaffirmed that the Word is alive. Furthermore, the Word can get right to the heart of the matter. It can speak peace to your soul, to your spirit, to your body. In fact, we've seen that already, that it can speak peace to your body. The Word judges your thoughts and your attitudes. Okay, so before I go on, what am I talking about here? Am I talking about the Word or am I talking about Jesus? Yes, very good. Thank you. Yes, the same thing. Okay, next. Abiding in the Word is cleansing. This is in Ephesians 5. Starting in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." The real point here is that the Word has power. By the power of the Word, you can be cleansed of all iniquities and stand before the Lord clean. And this makes sense because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed of all iniquities and we can stand before the Lord clean. Next, abiding in the Word is sanctifying. In John 17, Jesus is talking to the Father concerning us, and this is what he says. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I send them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Yes, Lord. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." And that includes us. It is through the truth of the Word that we find true sanctification, that we find true holiness. Ultimately, the consequences of abiding in the Word is that we draw nearer to the Lord and establish a deeper relationship with Him. This is a good deal. And the other consequence, as I mentioned before, is that we can use those words to speak against the enemy such that he flees from us. Now, I want to be clear here when I am discussing the Word. Abiding in the Word is not just about remaining in the Scripture. Remaining in the Scripture is remaining in the Logos, which is the black and the white and the red that's on the paper, right? But remaining in the Word is also about living off the utterances of the Lord. Taking the time to still yourself, to quiet, be still, and listen for the Word of God. God has made His Word incredibly accessible to us. Obviously through Scripture, you know, it's available. You can buy it at any bookstore. But also through His utterances to His children. Just as surely as we saw people who were healed today, the Lord wants to speak words to you that will minister to you, that will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Our responsibility then is to simply be available, to go to the banquet table where the Word of the Lord is waiting for us to consume. Remember that we're instructed not only to live off the food that nourishes our body, but we're also instructed to live off the food that nourishes our spirit. Food that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are to regularly consume the Word. For those of you who have fasted for more than a day, you know what your body feels like. You know that your body starts going through withdrawals for lack of food. And spiritually, you know it's the same way. If we go for a week or go for a month without ever getting into the Word without either reading the Word or seeking after the Lord for a word from Him. And we shouldn't be surprised when spiritually we're weak and we're malnourished. And as I said, we have a responsibility to be available to receive the Word, to just kind of strap on the old feed bag and start consuming. Okay, now, how do we do that? Well, that leads us to the application portion of my message, right? Every message has to have application. So how do we abide in the Word? How do we stay in Scripture regularly? How do we kind of align ourselves, you know, like a satellite dish to receive a word from the Lord? One word, expectation. Expectation. Psalm 5, verse 3 says this: "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Now, this passage may offer some clues as to why we don't spend time with the Lord as much as we'd like. The first part there, "I lay my requests before you." All right, well, okay, that shouldn't be too hard. You know, I think most of us aren't too shy that when we have a problem or something, you know, we go before the Lord and we just request. We'll put it that way. That we make a request of the Lord. But let's look at the next phrase. It says, "Wait in expectation." Wait? What does wait mean? I mean, we're Americans. We don't know nothing about waiting. I mean, we demand things come now and come right away, right? We want it now. So for us, waiting might be part of the problem. But even more than that, we don't expect God to show up during our Scripture reading or during our quiet time with Him. And because we have no expectation of the presence of God, we get no presence of God. Just reading the Word or studying the Word will only get you so far. And if it's drudgery, then you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. Those annual Bible reading plans are excellent and force us to stay in the Word. And I particularly encourage you to go through the annual Bible reading plan if you have never read through the Bible cover to cover. But we seek more than a yearly Bible plan. We want to be disciples who abide in the Word daily for a lifetime. And like everything else in the Christian walk, it does not have to be drudgery. It doesn't have to be tough. It can be freeing and fulfilling. An encounter with the Word is supposed to be an encounter with Jesus. But how do we get to that point? Well, don't just leave the Bible around in plain view, hoping that if it's in plain view, if it's sitting there on my table, then I will get down to read it sometime. Okay, because that's probably not going to work for you. Instead, I encourage you to set aside a certain time of the day. And then when you go in that certain time of the day, when you read the Word with expectation. Read the Word with expectation that the Lord will be there. Now, to read the Word with expectation means to have a certain amount of faith. But what does the Scripture say? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes from the Word of Christ. Okay, does everybody see the conundrum here? We will abide in the Word as we become expectant to hear from the Lord, which requires faith, which is obtained by hearing a word from the Lord. It's kind of a catch-22. Okay, but the encouragement is this. We all have some faith, right? We all have some faith. I mean, if we didn't have any faith at all, then we wouldn't even be Christians, right? Jesus said that even if we only had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could command a mountain to move, and it would do so. but we're not really attempting anything quite as ambitious as that. All we want is to have the faith that the Lord will give us a word today. Which, by the way, is something that the Lord wants to do anyway. You know, and the same can't be said for the mountain. You know, the mountain doesn't want to get up and move. But the Lord certainly wants to move in our lives. So that's all we need is a small amount of faith. Something that is already in deposit in all of us anyway. So as we set aside a certain time of the day to read the Word, ask the Lord this question. Lord, what do you want to reveal to me in your Word today? As we set aside a certain time of the day to be still and quiet before the Lord, ask the Lord these questions. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Lord, what is it that you want to give to me today? Remember that this does not have to be a long encounter with the Lord. And in fact, as you start, I encourage it not to be that long because I don't want you to get discouraged. Just take a little bit of time, even if it's 10 minutes in expectation that the Lord will come, and then just ask and then read or listen or do both and expect the Lord to give you a message. Remember that our objective here is to increase our personal disciplines. So we engage so that we can have a full and vibrant relationship with the Lord. Who, by the way, wants to have a full and vibrant relationship with us? He desperately wants to have that relationship with us. The Word is not a thing. The Word is a character. Furthermore, the character whom we're referring to is Jesus Christ. So as we spend time with the Word, we spend time with Jesus. And as we spend time with Jesus, we spend time hearing words from the God of the universe. Please stand. I'm going to ask each of you to just close your eyes. Don't worry, I'm not going to be asking anybody to raise their hands today. Because this is between you and the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and go before the Lord now. I'm going to pray in a second. That you personally would increase your personal discipline by abiding in the Word. The written Word that we know is the Bible, and the spoken Word that we know that the Lord can deliver to us. So take a minute now and consider your relationship with the Lord. And make a commitment to the Lord now in whatever capacity that you're able to make that commitment. Make a commitment to the Lord now in how you want to increase in your personal discipline with Him. Heavenly Father, it says in your Word that it is living and acting and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to judge our thoughts and our attitudes. So right now, in Jesus' name, we invite you to come and judge our thoughts and our attitudes, to judge our hearts. Father, I ask for myself, I ask for this family of believers that we would increase over this year our heart to hear your Word, our desire to read your Word and to listen for your Word. Lord, we ask for the faith that we are expectant, that you're going to come and speak to us as we crack open the Bible, or as we just sit quietly and listen.
We invite you, O Holy Spirit, come. Give us the strength to do this thing each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Mike, will you pray? Lord, in prayer, that he just stood right in front of me and kind of put his hand inside and set some things right. I felt the presence of the Lord. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I'm setting some things right. And the application of that, the real sense of that, is that so many of us have tried to be in the Word, have tried to really get close to God on our own, tried to spend some time, and there's been things, distractions, problems, confusion, whatever. And God said, I'm setting things right. This time it's going to work. Okay? So come, expect it, come in faith. And that's the sense I had while Mike was praying over us corporately here just a minute ago.
Okay, so be encouraged by that then. That it's off. So be encouraged by that then. That things are being set right. If you've tried this before and it hasn't worked, and you've just been frustrated, and you're cynical, and you're skeptical, well, let's start all over. Remember that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So let's start over. Okay, and let's receive what Don had to say. Okay, we're just starting all over. We're getting recalibrated to begin anew. Okay, remember it doesn't have to be drudgery. Katie has a word too.
This morning during worship, I saw, the Lord showed me a picture of this beautiful green tree, and underneath it were these red fruits that were hanging. And I felt like what the Lord was showing me is that there are people who see the fruit and are reaching for it, but just can't quite get their hands on it. And so it's sort of leaving a feeling of discontent.
Hmm. Yeah, so Katie came up to me during worship and she said, I don't know if this is going to fit in today's message or not. I said, yeah, I think it kind of does. So if you can bear witness to some of these things, I mean, receive this and consider what the Lord wants for you today. Okay, this fruit that's just out of your reach, the Lord wants to give you a step stool, all right, so that you can go up and start picking and start consuming and start enjoying the word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to dismiss now. Everybody's okay. We're going to dismiss now. However, if there's somebody who didn't come up before that's looking for some physical healing or some other type of healing, it's okay. Emotional healing, and we'll be available. If not, you are dismissed. You can go downstairs, down in the sunroom. Kevin, I know that you're new. We have, like I like to say, a continental breakfast. We have refreshments where you can just go and enjoy and hang out, and we'll talk with you and get to know you a little bit better. Okay.